Especially when I turn TV on and I see some of the guys on TV with their $1,500 suits and their slick hairdos. My hairdo has never been slick. That's one of the reasons I cut it off, keep it short. I wasn't made to look good in clothes or out of clothes. I cover up because I need to, you know. Sometimes when I hear those guys speak with such eloquence, I turn one of my recordings on and I'm thinking, who is that hillbilly? Sounds like a hick. And I look in the mirror sometimes and I'm thinking, why would anybody come to hear me speak? You know, it just blows me away. And I have been my own worst critic in my life. And for a long time, there were things that I knew that I had to do in my heart that I was just too intimidated to do because of my own perception of my weakness. You ever felt that way? Have you ever allowed anything to keep you back from doing something in your heart that you know that God wanted you to do? And I think we're all there. I think we've all been there. And I think the kingdom of God has suffered many times because of our perceptions about ourselves. Because I don't think that matters to God at all. I really don't. And what we're talking about is not a fan. This is the series that we're doing. By the way, we're not going to be doing it next week. Next week is the first Sunday of February. We'll be celebrating communion. And next Sunday night, we won't be having life groups. We're going to have everybody here at the church. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. Say, man, that sounds spiritual. We do it every year. What we're going to do is we're going to ask. I don't want to overburden the ladies of the church with a lot of food preparation. Make some sandwiches. If you want to make some chili or soup, bring it. Bring enough for you and just a few more. Let's bring it here. We'll make some tea if you want to bring some drinks, some desserts. We'll set them out on the table and we'll eat till it's gone or we won't worry about it. But we're just going to have a good time. You say, how many of you like football? How many are you for the Patriot fans? Who's rooting for the Patriots? Oh, not many. What about the Giants? Who's rooting for the Giants? Who don't care? Okay, that's what I thought. Wow. You don't like football? Come anyway, because we're going to play bingo. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to hang out. You say, can you do that in church? Well, I have never read in the rule book and it said that we couldn't. So until I find a passage in the Bible that says that we can't do that, I guess we can do it. Then the next week we're going to come back and in our regular, we're going to finish up the Not a Fan and continue our life group. So I just want to encourage you to come, get to know some folks. Some of you, the only time I see you is on Sunday morning and it's hard to get to know you. So if we could hang out, watch a little football, fellowship a little bit, eat a hot dog or something, it'd be great. And I think we'll have a good time. As I said, I think many times we have allowed our weaknesses. See, we all have this mirror that we look into. And a lot of times what we see is not what other people see at all. Many times we are so hard on ourselves. We really are. And we think, God couldn't love me because I... Or God couldn't use me because I... And I think we all have those in our lives. You know, One saving grace, and this is a comparison. You know, I hear myself and I sound like a rube or a hick. And if God can use Joyce Meyer and her voice, He can use my voice. Because she has one of the most, I mean, when she opens her mouth, that's not the voice that you expect coming out of her. But God uses her in a tremendous way to speak into the lives of people. So not everybody who is on TV fits the mold of what I'm talking about. But so many times we allow the enemy to defeat us because of our inadequacies. And we open the Bible sometimes and we see Bible characters and we've almost put them on a pedestal. You know, there is the Apostle Paul and there is Peter and James and John and some of the Old Testament characters. And we think, man, God used them in a way. He could never use me that way because, and we say the reason why I couldn't do that. But if you look a little bit deeper in the Bible, you're going to find out that the Bible characters had most of the same excuses that we use why God couldn't use us. Think about it. What about Abraham? Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of faith. Now, one of the things that Abraham had going against him was he was old. Have we ever used that excuse? Well, I'm just too old. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've done it this way for so long. I've messed up so long. I'm too old and my time has passed. Let me tell you, when your time passes is when you pass. God used many, many people when they were old. So Abraham was old. And Abraham lacked resolve sometimes. Then I think about Jacob. Jacob, boy, he was a rascal. In fact, Jacob was a very insecure schemer. He always was scheming somebody out of something. He was always trying to find an advantage, but he was a very, very insecure person. I think that may hit a lot of us in this congregation today. I know it hits me right in the face because for so many years in my life, I have felt inadequate, insecure, and I don't know why God could ever use somebody like that. It's that mirror we look into. You know, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too old, I'm too young. It's just all of these things that we tell ourselves that rob us of bringing God glory. And that's why we were raised up, mainly is to bring glory to God. So Jacob was this insecure schemer. What about Leah? Remember the story of Rachel and Leah? Leah was a very pretty woman. Leah was unattractive. But who did God choose? Did He choose beauty? Or did He use the unattractive one? He used her. Then there was Joseph. Now, Joseph was quite a guy. He had lots of character. Joseph was sterling in his character. In fact, he did everything right, but everything in his life went wrong. He was mistreated. He was abused. He was hurt. He was humiliated. Have you ever been there? I mean, you try to do the right thing, and then somebody criticizes you. And you think, well, if that's the way people are, I'm just not going to do anything. See, he could have used the excuse that my brothers hate me. Everywhere I turn around, it just seems like I get the raw end of the deal. I try to do the right thing and I wind up in prison. I'm so glad that the mirror that he looked in was not the mirror of humiliation. It was the mirror of what God could do. He kept his faith in God and he trusted God. See, when we started Not a Fan, a lot of people thought that this was just going to be about winning people to Christ. And it is about that. You know, my concern today is that if you don't know Christ, you need to get to know Him. You need to open your life to Him. You need to invite Him into your life. And not just so that you can admire Him, but because you can follow Him. But mainly, this series is targeted to believers, and especially those who have been believers a long time. See, what we're talking about are not heaven and hell issues. These are other kind of issues that many times we as believers have made excuses about our weaknesses, and we have slipped from being followers into just fans. We've quit following. And maybe you follow in some areas of your life, and maybe there's areas of your life that you're not following in. And we use the excuse, I'm too old. I'm too insecure. I'm unattractive. I've been hurt. Moses was a stutterer. I couldn't speak for God. I can't even speak splopper. I stutter. But you know what? God used him to deliver a nation out of Egypt. And he stuttered. Gideon. Gideon's a good story. God found him hiding. He was afraid. You know what God said? Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He was hiding. I'm so glad that when God calls us, He doesn't call us according to what we see in ourselves. He calls us by what He sees in us. He calls us according to His purpose, not according to our weakness. Now, I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. Thank you, Clay. Pour it on, brother. So Gideon was afraid. What about Samson? He had lots of strength. But you know what? He was proud. And he was just flat, not a good person. And God got through to him and used him. How about Rahab? You know what we call her? Rahab the harlot. Now, how would you like to be known? Who can I pick on? Somebody that won't get offended. Tammy the harlot. I mean, how would you like for that to be your title? In the Bible, Tammy the harlot. She was Rahab the harlot. She was an immoral woman. And you know what? Now, did God like the fact that she was a harlot? No. But she was available. And God used her. And God changed her. See, God doesn't approve of our sin. He doesn't approve of that. But that does not keep Him from doing a work of grace in our lives and changing those things and using us for His glory. So Rahab was a harlot. David had an affair. Oh, dear God. Dear God. Somebody in church had an affair? Kick them out. Why not restore them? I love the story that Rick Bezette tells about. They do life groups in their church. He pastors New Life Church in Conway. And one of the guys in their life group, one of their life groups, the guy began to miss. And they became concerned about him, and they found out that he was having an affair, cheating on his wife. So what those guys did, every night that he went out with that woman, they would set up in his front yard in their lawn chairs, and they waited till he got home and said, "Brother, are you all right? We just wanted to make sure that you made it home okay." They didn't kick him out of church. They didn't condemn him. They didn't judge him. You know what they did? They loved him. And you know what they did? They loved him right back to Jesus. David had an affair. Now, should he had an affair? No. Was it okay? No. But did that mean that God was through with him? No. He sent Nathan the prophet, and he confronted him. Not only did David had an affair, he had her husband murdered and then married her. Now that's low life scum sucker there. That's pretty low. And God redeemed him and used him as a mighty king. Okay? So, well, are you condoning wrongdoing? No. But what I'm saying is, people fail. And many times we think, especially if we are the ones who have failed, that because I have done this, then I have gone too far. You know, maybe people will never forgive you, but listen, God will forgive you. And God will use you. Jonah was disobedient. Ooh, you know where he wound up? In Nineveh. You know how he got there? In the belly of a whale. He got obedient in a hurry. Naomi was a widow. Well, God couldn't use me. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I'm a widow. I'm poor. That has never stopped God. John the Baptist was eccentric. He ate bugs. How would you like for that to be your mainstay? How would you like to go hear a preacher that ate bugs? Hey, this preacher don't eat bugs. I don't handle snakes and I don't eat bugs. Now, I eat honey, but I don't eat bugs that I know about. He ate bugs. Peter was hot-headed and impulsive. And Jesus said to him, because of the revelation he had, he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And guess what? God used him as one of the early church fathers to establish his church. Hot-headed and impulsive Peter. Martha worried. She worried about stuff. The Samaritan woman, you ready for her? She had 5 failed marriages. Now, how messed up is that? She had relationship issues. But you know what? When she encountered Jesus, she came with her water pot to get water. You know what? She left with living water, and she was changed forever. You know, she could have said, you know what? God could never use me. I've been married 5 times, and I'm just shacking up now. Well, that wasn't God's plan for her life, was it? That's not what God wanted. But God was able to change it and use her for his glory. Zacchaeus was this short little guy. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A little wee little man was he. He crawled up in the sycamore tree. He was a tax collector and a short guy. God couldn't use short guys, could he? He could, definitely couldn't use the IRS. But God changed his life and used him. Thomas had doubts. How'd you like to be known as Doubting Thomas? Timothy was timid. And then there was Paul. Wow. Now, Paul didn't have any glaring weaknesses. And sometimes we look at people and we don't see any glaring weaknesses. But sometimes their strengths become weaknesses when they trust their strengths more than they trust God. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Paul. He was a man born for a particular thing. His assignment was to bring the revelation of the new covenant into the earth. God prepared his way. He raised up a rabbi by the name of Hillel. And Hillel had a student under him by the name of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel had a student under him by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes our Apostle Paul. Paul was blessed with a great mind. He was blessed with a great understanding of the Jewish scripture. God raised up teachers to raise him up to bring the new covenant into the earth. You'd look at Paul, he's probably this brash, He's not a guy that waited for doors to open. He's a guy that kicks them open and walks through them. Strong. Strong. When we look at him, we think strong. But sometimes strong becomes weak. Because sometimes strength ceases to trust in God and depends on the arm of the flesh. See, what we have described is opposite ends of a problem. We have the self-sufficient, and then we have the insufficient. And what we need to create in our life is God's sufficiency. Because this side says, I can't do this because I'm weak. This side basically says, I can do anything I need to do, and I don't need help. And I think Paul kind of run into this a little bit. And his strength took him so far. And I'm not saying that God wasn't with him, because he was. He raised him up. He raised him up for a purpose. But your talent and your ability can only take you so far. And let me say this. Every ability that you have is a gift. It's God-given. Your personality, your talents, your knacks that you have in your life, you were put together, designed by God before the foundation of the world. Now, we sang about this God this morning, unchangeable, unstoppable, all of those things. He is all-knowing. I mean, He designed us. And He designed us as it suited Him. Now, why He gave me short legs and a long waist, I'll never know. I could look better in my clothes if He had designed me a little bit different. I'll never make the cover of GQ. I just never will. I don't know why He designed me that way, but it pleased Him to design me that way. He gave me my personality. He put the gifts in my life that I would need to bring glory to Him. It's called grace. It's called grace. Everything that we have in our life is grace. You don't own anything. Your personality is God-given. Now, God didn't give you your sins, and God didn't make you mess up what He gave you. We did a good job of that ourselves. God wants to fix it. We want to embrace it, but God wants to fix it. I want to share some scripture, and this has to do with what has been called Paul's thorn. And there's been a lot of misunderstanding about Paul's thorn. Most theologians think that Paul's thorn was a sickness or a disease, and they quote scripture. But if you look at it closely, because I don't believe God makes people sick. I don't. Why would, when sickness and disease came into the earth, it came in through sin? Okay? Adam's sin opened the door for sickness and disease. Why would God take something that wasn't even of Him and put it in my life? I don't believe He does that. What Paul's thorn, if you look at Paul's thorn, he said it was called a messenger of Satan. It come from the enemy. Now, we're going to read these verses, and I want us to see some things here. Paul's response to God was this. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He said, get the devil off of me, get this. And here's what was happening. Everywhere Paul went, there were problems. There was revival, but there was also riot. He got beat up. He got whipped. He got thrown into the ocean. He was beaten and left for dead at least once. He was persecuted from the Jews. He was persecuted by Christian brothers. He was just bombarded with it. And, you know, he was a strong guy and he was a smart guy. But he finally came to the end of his own strength. And he says, you know what, God, I can't take this. Please remove this. Well, the very nature of his calling required him to walk through this. Because he was, let me tell you what Paul was doing. He was introducing the new covenant into the earth. The most dangerous message in the earth today is the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. The truth of grace and faith is a very dangerous message to our enemy. And if he had that message, the enemy focused on him to attack him, to try to buffet that message. Now, Paul had some personality struggles that was going on here. And he was fixing to come to the reality that his strength was not enough. Self-reliance is not enough. Most of us do not have that problem. We're making excuses why we can't. He wasn't understanding why he couldn't. So he says, I asked the Lord to remove this three times. But he said to me, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, a lot of people see that as, Paul, you're just going to have to put up with this. That's not what God was saying. Let's talk a little bit about grace. What is grace? As I said a while ago, everything in your life, your personality, your giftings, your talents, all of those things are gifts of grace. You did nothing to earn those things. Okay, you may have taken and developed some of those things, but you didn't earn those things. I wish I could sing like Michael Bublé. I'd be dangerous if I could sing like Michael Bublé. That dude can sing. Anybody know who I'm talking about? That dude can sing. I wish I could. It's a good thing God didn't give me that gift. Now, he had to take that grace and he had to develop that. There are some things that I'm graced to do. There's some things I'm not. I didn't earn the pastoral gift, the teaching gift. I didn't earn my personality. These are things that God put in me by choice. And what he said to him, he says, my grace is sufficient. And we think grace is a weak word, a meek word. It's not a weak word. It's a powerful word. Because he goes on to say, my power is made perfect in weakness. So when he's talking about grace, he's talking about power. How are we saved? By grace through faith. Faith is our response to the gospel. Grace is the power of God that brings the new birth, that changes the heart. Grace through faith is a strong thing, not a weak thing. So what he's saying is, my grace, my ability, and my power is sufficient. Paul, yours is not, but mine is. Your natural ability, your self-will is not sufficient, but my grace is. Your strength is not sufficient, but my strength is. As we said in the song a while ago, he's unchangeable, unstoppable, something else. What was the other one? Unshakable. I'm shakable, stoppable, and changeable. He's none of those. I have my limits. He has none. It's called grace. I love another definition I heard of grace. It's God's willingness to use his power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. You deserve nothing in this life. It's called grace. And it's God's willingness to use his power on our behalf. Now, when we think that we deserve something, is usually when we get in trouble. And we have to come to the place where we realize that we are weak. Now, a lot of us are easy with that. And God is saying to you, it's okay that you're weak. I know that you're weak. But my grace has chosen to use my power on your behalf. And you don't deserve it. And Paul was coming into this realization from this side. What we need many times is to come in it from this side. And I need to know that I don't have to look like GQ. And I can sound like a hillbilly. And I don't have to be eloquent. Because it's not my ability. It's His ability. It's His grace. It's His power. It's not my power. And He can use a donkey if He wants to. You know, we do have an instance in Scripture where a donkey spoke. Well, that means there's hope for you. If He can use a jackass, He can use me. Okay, let's read on. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Because He has no weakness. God has no weakness. Even our greatest strength, if you put your strength next to His strength, there's no comparison. Yours is weak. Let's not depend on our strength. Let's not worry about our weakness. Let's concentrate on His grace because it is sufficient. Woo! That means God can use me. He can use me if I stutter. He can use me if I make a mistake. He can use me if I don't always make the right decision. The only time He can't use me is if I won't let Him. And I'm going to choose to let Him. See, we're not talking about heaven and hell issues. But we are talking about fan and follower issues, because there's a lot of people who refuse to make the step and follow because they are afraid. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. But He can. And this is the lesson that Paul learned in this. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He says, I'm not going to worry about all of these things that come against me anymore. He says, because I know that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He says, God, I'm not in charge of the difficulty. It's not my problem to solve the difficulty. I'm just only supposed to be obedient to the thing that You tell me to do in the difficulty. It's Your power that's going to make the difference. It's Your grace that's going to make the difference. And I think Paul probably, when he learned that lesson, he became more powerful in the Lord. He got away from self-sufficiency. He got away from if he had an ego problem, he got away from his ego because he finally realized it's Christ's power. It's not my power. My greatest strength can be my biggest problem sometimes. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Another verse I want to read to you. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. You know, you're a Christian today not because of you. You're a Christian today because of Him. And you weren't that sharp. Have you noticed that God, it's not politics that God uses? It's not the mighty. Now, sometimes He'll use the mighty, but by and large, you know what God has done the most with? The common person. Most of us are just common people. And God can do more. He can do more with less than anybody else. He fed 5,000 with a few fishes and a few loaves. He fed more with less. Wonder what he could do with a crumb. We got any crumbs here? Wonder what he could do with a crumb. If he can feed 5,000 with five loaves and how many fishes, what could he do with a crumb? He can do anything that his power chooses to do. He just needs the crumb. So it's not the mighty stuff. It's not the powerful stuff. It's not the technology. It's not the satellites. It's the simple stuff. Now, he can use all of those things, but many times we say, there are smarter people than me. You don't have to be smart. I don't have a degree. I have a degree in nothing. I don't have a DM. I don't have a PhD. I don't even have 4 years of college. You can pastor a church without a degree. You don't have to be wise and smart and influential and nobility and got the right last name for God to use you. You can be broken. You can be old. You can be single. You can be stained by sin. You can have had failure in your life. You know what God wants? He just wants you to be available. See, here's our challenge. Here's the challenge I want to give you today. And I want to use the Socrates quote again. An unexamined life is a life not worth living. And I think a lot of Christians are being wasted because they will not examine their lives because they are afraid. You do not have to be afraid of God. He will not hurt you. Your transformation may be uncomfortable, but He will not hurt you. He wants to use you. He wants to be glorified through your life. You'll have to change. Well, I don't like change. Then you don't like His glory. You were designed for His glory. So here's my challenge to you today. Here's what I want you to get out of this message again. Open your heart. Allow God to speak to you. Examine your life. When you think about something, if it brings fear, ask yourself why. The things that I'm most afraid of many times are the things that God is trying to get me to deal with. We love comfort zones. We need to destroy our comfort zones. We have to examine our lives. This is why 12-step ministry is so powerful, because it forces you to look into your own heart and ask yourselves questions and to be honest with yourself. If we would do that, this is what life groups can do as we get into those discussions, as you hear other people talk about their deals, and it reveals things to you about yourself, and it causes you to be reflective and let God do a work in you. What could we be like? What could we be like as a church? What could God do with us if we'd do that? What would we be? What would we look like? We'd look different. There'd be ministry going out of here all the time. There'd be ministry going on 7 days a week. The church would come alive. It would be awesome. It can happen. It could happen at your job. It could happen out on the street. One of the scariest things, when I was a young Christian, we had a coffee house. And I was bashful. I was intimidated by everything. I was intimidated by girls. I was intimidated by people. Girls are people, but especially girl people, they really intimidated me. And one of the things, they trained us how to witness. And we would go out on the streets. Main Street at that time was a lot of people. There was two movie theaters. And we'd go to those movie theaters and we'd hand out tracts to people. We'd say, Jesus loves you, and hand them a tract. And a lot of those kids that were going were kids that I graduated with. And boy, you're talking about intimidating. And learning to be out among people and do things and give away stuff and setting up, like going on West Side and setting up and giving away food. See, a lot of people would like to do that, but they're afraid. What would people say? What would people think? What would? But what if we dealt with those stuff? What if we dealt with our fears? What if we dealt with our age? What if we dealt with our past? What if we let God's power work in us as a church? There's no limit to what God could do with this church, because it would be His power. It wouldn't be us, it would be Him. And that's what He wants it to be. He wants to be glorified in the church, through the church. Amen. Prayer team, would you come? We're going to pray. I don't give emotional invitations. If you're here today and need to find Christ as your Lord, we invite you to come do that. If there are issues that God has spoken to you about today that you need prayer about, come and these people will pray with you. If any other thing in your life that you need prayer about, feel free to come and they'll be glad to pray with you here today. As I begin to pray, you begin to respond. Father, thank you so much today for your word. Thank you for grace. Thank you that your power is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. It's more than we'll ever need. Help us to walk through whatever it is that holds us back. Our past, our fears, our age, our marital status, whatever it is that holds us back. Help us to walk back, to walk through those things so that you may be glorified through us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Come on.